Welcome to Interpreter Insights. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. Our insights topic for this show is the story of Joseph's coat of many colors found in Genesis 37. Before we dive into that topic, if you're looking for a fabulous trip this summer, consider joining the Interpreter Foundation's tour to the UK. It will be led by Dan Peterson, Chris Fredrickson, and Peter Fagg. If you join, you will explore amazing church history sites in England. You'll learn about missionaries who preach the gospel and their converts. You'll see amazing cathedrals, palaces, and villages. And you'll be part of cultural events there. You'll finish with 4 amazing days in London, one of the world's great cities. Space is limited. Book now so you don't miss out. Go to bountifultravel.com. That's bountifultravel.com or call 801-453-9444. And now on to our insights topic, which is the story about Joseph's coat of many colors. We might want to rephrase that, the rest of the story about Joseph's coat of many colors. Was it really a coat of many colors or a priesthood garment with embroidered or woven marks? Let's dive right in here. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, Jacob makes a garment for his son Joseph, which is called a coat of many colors in the King James Version of the Bible. The underlying words there that are translated as coat of many colors in King James are translated as an ornate robe in the New International Version. In the Good News Translation, it's a decorated robe. And in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, which has the original Jewish words, ketanet pasim, it is literally a marked garment, which in certain contexts is a priesthood robe with marks, or a priesthood garment with embroidered markings, or something similar. The wording is broad, so we also find it in another place in the Old Testament that obviously doesn't have anything to do with a specific priesthood garment, or at least probably does not. Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 and 23 are the places in the King James Bible where we have this phrase coat of many colors. Let's dive a bit deeper into this phrase, coat of many colors, the pasim ketanet that I mentioned earlier, and talk about what that phrase can mean, because they're broad words, and frankly, in English, they are too. A coat can mean everything from a ski parka to a classic overcoat to an outer garment. If you're just using the word garment, that could mean underwear, outerwear, special wear, anything from a t-shirt to something very ornate. And so it's the context and the special descriptions that qualify the word ketanet or garment that make all the difference. The word pasim that qualifies it has a quality of something special in the Bible. The pasim or the qualifier for the garment or robe or coat means in different contexts or can in the Jewish language something that is specially woven, something that is embroidered, something that is specially sewn, has special colors or stripes or patterns or marks or symbols or designs. All of these are possible uses or interpretations of the phrase pasim ketanet, which his coat of many colors in Genesis 37. Literally, for a priesthood context, it would be a priesthood robe with marks or a garment with priesthood marks. It could be translated an ornately marked priesthood robe or a priesthood garment decorated with symbols or a special priesthood clothing with woven or sewn priesthood marks. You get the idea. These are all real, accurate, possible translations for Genesis 37:3, this special robe that Joseph had. The first person to, in a wide way, bring this idea out that this was not just a coat of many colors, that this was a priesthood garment, at least in an LDS context, was BYU professor Hugh Nibley. And he did a lot of looking into the phrase, into the Old Testament, and he discovered that if you look at the phrase ketanet, just this shirt or smock or garment, you find it 29 times in the Old Testament. There are 5 times where it is qualified with this word pesim, which means to make it ornate or special with marks or specially woven. The context for those four of them are Genesis 37, specifically dealing with Joseph's garment. The other one is obviously a little bit different than a priesthood context. This is something Tamar in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 18 and 19 is wearing a ketanet pasim, which we are told in those verses is the special garment that virgin daughters of the king wore during those times. And when you look at that, you realize the variability of the phrase. If you look at all of the examples, you can see different contexts where the translation has been made. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, as a garment or skin for Adam and Eve, as a coat of many colors in Genesis 37, which I've already mentioned here a few times, as a woven checkered tunic in Exodus chapter 28, verse 39, as it's interestingly translated there, and in various other places in Genesis 29 as special shirts or tunics. You have some other places where this word is found that are very meaningful for Latter-day Saints. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 21 has the phrase, I will clothe him with his special garment. I will clothe him with his special tunic. We also have in Job chapter 30, verse 18, the idea about a collar on a certain coat that comes from the same phraseology of ketanet. We have 100 priestly garments described that are ketanet in Ezra chapter 2, verse 69. So we have to look very much at the context, but we do find that it can and does mean a special priesthood garment. So back to the story of Joseph and his coat. His brothers are very jealous of this priesthood garment. They take it off from him. And then, according to Genesis chapter 37, verse 23, his brothers throw him into a dry well, which would be deep, have no water at the bottom, would hurt like crazy, and probably was intended to kill him. But seeing that it did not kill him, they then turned around and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who then took him to Egypt. Now you have the early connection between the Jews and the Egyptians, because it is this move by Joseph with the Ishmaelites to Egypt that sets the stage for the entire book of Exodus, because Joseph and his entire family wind up in Egypt, as we shall soon see. Of course, we have the story about how Joseph, after he is a slave upon arrival, moves up the ranks by talking with the jailer who is in charge of the other prisoners, and then how eventually he becomes the Pharaoh's personal assistant and he helps out the chief cook and others with the meanings of their dreams. In Genesis chapter 41, he becomes renowned enough that he tells the Pharaoh the meaning of his dream, and that interpretation is accepted by Pharaoh. Finally, Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph that Pharaoh makes Joseph the governor of Egypt to implement a food storage plan, which is occurring because of the interpretation that Joseph had of Pharaoh's dream, where there will be 7 years of wealth and bounty, followed by 7 years of famine. So during this 7 years of famine, which Egypt is well prepared for, Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt and they ultimately find out who he is and they reconcile with him. The fascinating rest of the story here that sets the stage for the Israelites and the priesthood is that in Genesis chapter 41, verses 44 through 50, Joseph marries an Egyptian girl named Aseneth. She is the daughter of Potipharah, the Egyptian priest of On. They eventually have two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the astute listener at this point is probably saying, wait, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. How can you have Manasseh and Ephraim as having a pagan mother? And the answer is they don't have a pagan mother. Aseneth actually converts. We don't find this story from the Bible, but there is a somewhat famous in Latter-day Saint circles, a first century Armenian book called Joseph and Aseneth. And in it, to summarize, you have th three parts. One is the conversion of Aseneth, Joseph's wife, from her Egyptian faith to Judaism. And the second part talks about how Aseneth falls in love with Joseph. And then the third part describes to the astute reader how Aseneth receives her temple covenants. To go into a little bit more detail about the contents of this book, Joseph and Aseneth, they are absolutely smitten with each other. She converts from her Egyptian religion to Judaism. She's visited by an angel from God who is described as being as bright as the sun. Sounds familiar to Latter-day Saints. Aseneth is given a robe and a veil to wear, and she received covenant signs and tokens. Also sounds very temple-like, priesthood-like. And Aseneth, who is now Jewish and a worshiper of Yahweh, is ready to marry Joseph. After the marriage, Pharaoh's son, who was jealous of Joseph, plots to kidnap Aseneth, but Pharaoh's son and his army, upon attacking Aseneth's men, are all killed except Pharaoh's son, who is mortally wounded but lives for 3 days and then finally dies. Heartbroken about all of this, the pharaoh also dies, and it's because of both the pharaoh and his son being gone that Joseph is then in a position to be the ruler of all of Egypt, and that sort of connects the rest of the dots. And so what are the takeaways from the story of Aseneth and Joseph, and from the whole idea of a Passim Ketanet? What we are to learn is that Joseph had a priesthood garment, and it was probably the same garment that was, or patterned after the same garment that was given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know it isn't the exact garment because at the point of the beginning of the story there in Genesis 37, Jacob is fashioning this garment for Joseph. So it's not the exact garment from the Garden of Eden, but it is apparently patterned after it. And you can follow through where that is true as you go through all of the places in the Old Testament where Abraham gets the, excuse me, Adam gets the priesthood and the garment in the book of Genesis, and then eventually Abraham does and Jacob does and others do as well. If you're interested in the story of Aseneth and Joseph, it is on file in the Bodleian Library in Oxford University. And there are copies of it that are available in English. We also have a tie-in to the Book of Mormon because we have this story in Alma chapter 46, verses 24 through 26, about how Joseph's priesthood garment miraculously does not decay. That would have meant that it lasted about 4,000 years or so, according to Jewish tradition. Adam and Eve lived just slightly before 4,000 BC. But however long the time actually was, not all of the garment of Adam is decayed, and that original garment must have lasted or been replicated by many people. And then when Joseph lives, that would have been probably 1,000 BC. The very garment that Joseph has been preserved for approximately 1,000 years to make it to the story of Alma, chapter 46, verses 24 through 26 in the Book of Mormon. And so there are some fascinating tie-ins. Patterned after the earliest garment, the garment that Joseph has is made probably about 1,000 BC, and it miraculously lasts for about 1,000 years and is mentioned in Alma 46, verse 24. I hope these have given to you a few more insights about why, when you get right down to it, there is no coat of many colors. There's a coat of priesthood marks that was a priesthood robe that we read about in Genesis chapter 37. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. This is Interpreter Insights. Consider giving me a 5-star rating. You can find all Interpreter Insights right on the Interpreter Foundation's website,